when the time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking sand when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANOACAGAPASLASLASCRRMMDRAHAPAFAIRCMAHA. Or any of them, they're guys. We don't speak for any of the Anons either. We'll have Anon of that. Welcome to Recovery.
Anon.
Yeah, we should speak for on and on and on.
We do.
The program for people who talk too much. Welcome to Recovery 101, the entertainment show of recovery. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley.
And Mark.
Mark. Remember, Shelley, if I need a meeting,
I wouldn't be listening to this show.
I would.
Well, then you'd be in serious trouble.
What if you're in an area where there's, where you just had a big flood and you can't really get to any meetings?
There are online meetings.
Like our friend Fran.
There are online meetings you can go to.
Probably not.
You can go to online meetings? Or do you just click on an online? Because you can't really, you don't really need to go anywhere.
You attend an online meeting.
I think one of the problems was possibly in that area is she was downloading onto her iPhone.
Uh-huh.
Maybe couldn't have gone to an online meeting. I don't even know if there was ability to go to an online meeting then. I mean, the city was flooded. I don't know if maybe her power was out.
Okay, if the power was out, how was she downloading the show onto her iPod?
Her iPhone?
Whatever.
Through a cell tower? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know. But if someone said, say, needed a meeting, Shelley.
Yes.
What should they be doing?
They should get on their little shoesies and get in their little coaches and drive to a meeting or take a bus or walk or call a friend or their sponsor and go to a meeting. That's
sweet.
What they should be doing.
What would you do, Mark?
I turn up the volume.
Awesome.
This explains a lot about the two of you.
Now, this is going to go up about a week after, probably, but happy belated Easter to everybody.
Happy
Easter. Shelley,
Shelley's having issues.
Yeah, my back is all of a sudden starting to go again. I don't know what I picked up or what I moved or did.
You stood for a long time in choir, maybe.
I don't know.
Holy, holy, holy.
They were rocking in choir today.
Yeah, so
I got to tell you, for those out there that, you know, obviously have not seen Shelley sing in choir, there's a significant amount of gray hairs up in the choir. And Shelley is like the only person the entire time she's singing has a big ass smile on her face.
That's because I am singing for the glory of God and it makes me happy. So I smile.
There you go. How was your day, Mark?
Outstanding.
You got your festivities done early?
Got my festivities done early. Went to my sister's for brunch and my children came over and we just hung out and got home and we're supposed to have dinner at about 6, and at 3 o'clock everybody kind of looked at me and said, wow, we're really kind of hungry. And so I made dinner at 4, and we ate, we were done, and said, okay, let's head over. Let's go play. Let's go play with Shelley and Bruce.
We had Chinese food, and
which was excellent,
but as what usually happens, not very long after, Shelley's like, I'm hungry.
I know, I'm starving right now.
I, on the other hand, am not, but I ate a gracious plenty. What was that? Shrimp and white sauce?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was like a garlic sauce. It was,
it
was sweet. It was sweet
but it was like sauce. It was like a sweet garlic sauce, but it was like slightly It wasn't like a fried shrimp at all. It was like a tiger shrimp or something, and it was like what you'd expect to be like a sauteed shrimp, but it had like a little tiny crunch.
Well,
to it.
I think what part of what makes it sweet is because I think that they sauteed the shrimp in like caramelized sugar or something because it had that kind of. It was like a like the crunch you get on the top of creme brulee.
Yes, which we had the other day.
Like
as well.
If you were to have a candied walnut.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could get that with walnuts too.
The shrimp was okay, but I liked the lemon fish. The lemon cod. Oh, that was so good.
Sure. Mushu pork?
Yes.
Chinese
always
burrito?
Good. Always yes. good.
Chinese burrito.
Well,
you know what that means.
Now that I'm really hungry, thanks a lot.
Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
What have you done to this chair?
The first person who responds to these calls during the show has to send them to Taco Bell.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, because it's usually one of Bruce's.
That's what sponsors are for.
Do I come up with a topic?
No, send them to Taco Bell.
Oh.
Okay, let's see. We have shout-outs to Brian and Bill.
Hey, Brian and Bill, shout-out.
Shout.
Everybody
shout.
Else must have been busy.
Let it all out. These are the news stories you'll read
you
about.
You can definitely do without. In New York.
You got nothing from me?
You don't count.
I don't count.
Where did you send it?
Facebook.
I didn't see
that's the
it.
Only place you ever look.
I didn't see it. What was it about? Tell us.
Probably Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, was it a Lindsay story? Let's go with Lilo. Go ahead.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Is that the one where she was under the table in the Brazilian nightclub?
Huh?
No.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That one sounds way better.
Okay.
We'll use yours.
Well, I bookmarked it, too, to use it this weekend. I forgot
to
grab it.
Did she become the head waitress?
No.
Oh, damn.
That's the one with the dirty knees?
She just got sentenced to 90 days rehab, and if she completes the program, then her suspended sentence will be dismissed or whatever. And then she'll be out of trouble again. But she doesn't have to report to the rehab till May 1st.
Oh, it's on.
So,
next month it's on like Donkey Kong.
How do you give her a whole month to report?
I don't know.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Well, yeah. I knew somebody else that had gotten sentenced to like they were waiting for a bed to open up in our ARC, and the judge said that was fine.
I don't think she's going to an ARC-type facility.
I know, I'm just
saying. No, she's,
I think where she's going, she could, like, purchase the facility and go there and make the rules.
Yeah. Well, at any rate. So she's decided she's going to party, and I saw pictures of it. She was drunk. There were bottles around her. She's sitting on a dirty nightclub floor with her dress hiked up around her hips, totally drunk, under the table next
Google
to the
image
DJ
search.
Station. Now, I propose, she is 26 years old, I think that we should start the Lindsay Lohan Deadpool, because I think she's going to be the next 27.
Ooh.
Because she looks like crap. If you look at her pictures, her skin's discolored, she's definitely getting some jaundice. I mean, she's does not look healthy at all. You can see her shoulder blades in the back. I mean, it's just bad.
Like
the Lilo Deadpool.
Wasn't like Courtney Love like sponsoring her or something?
At one point, but...
Because Courtney Love now has got, like, 2 or 3 years. I mean, she's, like, doing okay.
She fell in a hole.
Well, Well, possibly. Courtney Love may be trying to be normal, because I read a story a few months ago about her being spotted drinking beer at a club.
Well, that's
normal.
Normal. For an alcoholic.
So, yeah. So she may be trying to...
What's abnormal about an alcoholic drinking beer?
Well, she's trying some controlled drinking.
Yes, I think that's...
She reached that chapter in the Big Book.
Yeah.
Possibly. I don't know.
Chapter 3.
I just read the story, and, you know, you can't believe everything you read on the internet, so I don't want to, and she claims she's still
really?
Sober.
Oh,
really?
Shaw, if it's on the internet, it's for sure
and
true.
There were no pictures of her actually at this nightclub drinking beer. However, there were multiple pictures of Lilo...
On the floor,
under the DJ table.
With her dress up around her hips?
Yes.
Google image search. Coming up after the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Were her bangs stuck together?
Ow. You know what's funny, though?
Okay,
I looked at a thing with, like, a bunch of mug shots of her. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about how horrible... She still looks pretty good in all her mug shots. You're looking at the mug shots going, she looks, you know, It's not like she's if not, I had 11 mug shots in a row.
She's not like Nick Nolte or anything.
Yeah, no. I mean, she's always like, you know, got the smile. She's like, hi.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you got
to. It looks like she's taking a modeling shot.
You got to understand, most of the time when she goes in to get booked for something, her lawyer is accompanying her, and it's a negotiated booking. So she's had time to go and clean up and
negotiated booking.
Yeah,
yep.
They schedule her booking.
I don't think I ever had that.
So anyway, are we done chatting about Lilo?
Yes,
okay.
We were done minutes ago.
Well, you were done. Apparently, Bruce wasn't. Okay, so now we're going to New York. Bill was quite
New York,
incensed about this, and I can see why. If you go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, there is a sign that
says you can't look at too many pictures.
A sign that says adult general admissions, and then it says $25.
$25?
Underneath that, in small letters, very small letters, it says recommended.
Oh.
Most people, especially tourists that don't speak English very well,
just pay $25.
Just pay the $25. Don't right. understand that they are not required to pay at all. 5 days of the week and 2 evenings a week, the museum, by law, must be free to the public.
I did not know
they
that.
Get, the Metropolitan Museum of Art gets grants from the government, from the state of New York, plus the land that the museum sits on is free for them. They pay no rent. It's owned by the city of New York. They pay no rent.
25 is pretty steep.
Yeah.
To go to a museum.
They also have, over the years, invested money in
art?
In mutual funds and things like that in order to fund museum programs. They have a portfolio.
Uh-oh, here it comes. How many million?
$2.8 billion portfolio.
$2.8 billion.
Yes.
Now wait. Now, let me ask you this.
And are they a 501?
Wait.
They are a nonprofit. Yeah.
Wait. But let me ask you this. The portfolio of a museum, can we assume that that also covers the value of the items in the museum?
No. They just said, no, it's their investment portfolio.
Ooh.
Now, here's the thing. So the museum is supposed to, by law, be free to the public, and yet the museum is saying, well, no, you don't have to pay the $25 fee, but you do have to pay something. But the law states that it doesn't. So now a bunch of former employees and things that are pissed off because they feel like they've been taking the public for a ride all these years are suing.
Oh.
And it doesn't say where the money is going or what they're suing for.
Well, as an example, we have a museum that's completely privately owned over in Arcadia, which is the Huntington Library, which has a lot of really famous artwork. It's got Blue Boy and Pinky, and it's got a lot of stuff. It's mm-hmm. It's got a section that's got the Dead Sea Scrolls in it.
Yeah, but could you check books out of it?
No, but...
What good is the library if you can check the books out?
But. And it's like $11 or something to get in. But it's privately owned, and they're charging you to get in, and it's less than half of what New York is saying their suggested recommended amount is.
The museum is pretty impressive.
Well, yes.
It is, but the fact is that the admission fees, it says right there in the story that the admission fees don't pay for any of their operating costs. It's
yeah,
not made clear
you know,
where that money is going. And they're not supposed to by law.
It's a suggested admission donation.
I know, but they're not making it clear to the public that they don't have to pay it. And most people didn't know. When people were polled coming out of the museum, said they didn't know that they didn't have to pay the $25.
They're like, you mean I just spent $125 for me and my family and I could have gone in for free?
Yeah. And the law was
buyer beware.
The law was put in place in 1893, and the museum was declared a public trust. So,
you know what? People used to be smarter.
True.
And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Okay. The article has this heading falls into under the category of why has no one thought of this before? There is a food company somewhere in the U.S. I don't know where they're based, but it's called J&D Foods.
Soylent Green is people.
It's called J&D Foods. They are, I don't know why they're branching out into non-food items, but they are coming out with the very first bacon condom. It is made. There's silence there as you guys turn that idea over in your mind. Okay.
I need
food?
A girl that really
Wait,
likes
how is this,
to eat,
how is this
bacon.
Not food?
The advertising package says on the front says make your meat look like meat.
Making bacon.
It gives a whole new meaning to the phrase porking someone.
Yeah, yes, it does. Oh, Shelly's been waiting to throw that
yes,
one out.
Yes, I have. It has...
It's served right on top of the coddled eggs.
It yeah. also has bacon-flavored lubricant already on the condom.
I love the fact that it's bacon-flavored.
Yes. Yeah. And they are proudly made in the U.S. They're
Who highest... else would make that?
Like Farmer Johnson.
Farmer Johnson.
Yeah, no other country in the world is going to make bacon condoms. And they are made of the highest quality latex and rigorously tested to help ensure the utmost reliability and safety. And they look like strips of bacon.
Have you ever seen like these...
That's a little weird.
You mean after you're done cooking it, it's much smaller than when you started?
Yeah. Have you ever yeah. seen those images where it's got something really stupid we do in America and then underneath it says, America. Only in America. Only in America would we make a bacon-flavored condom that looks like bacon. Although, Sanrio, the purveyors of Hello Kitty condoms, so... Because it could be a Japan thing. Japan does some
weird stuff. Yeah.
Just watch their game shows.
Do we have a mean raspberry sound? Sorry, I'm getting hiccups.
Raspberry sound?
Yes. Yes, for the idiots of the week.
Well,
what the heck was that?
Okay. Speaking of the idiot of the week.
Okay.
I was trying to make a raspberry through the kazoo. It didn't really work.
The giant raspberry goes to the town of Hypoluxo.
Florida!
Yes.
Hypoluxo.
Hypoluxo. Or Hypoluxo. Hypoluxo, Florida. Oh.
That's really stupid.
Yes.
The white silent.
A returning Marine, Gregory Schaefer, active combat Iraq war veteran. He's 24 years old.
Well, he's a hero of the week just because.
Yes, just because. He's awesome. Just because. He came back, served his tour, did his 4 years in the military, was honorably discharged. He came home. He's got a job, the house, the wife, the kid, the whole thing, right?
American
the whole package.
Dream.
And a dog.
He is very proud of his service, and he's proud of his country, and he decides that he is not going to be a homeowner in America without a flag flying in front of his house.
Okay,
okay,
so...
I like this. So tell us about the...
So he puts a flagpole in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and?
A neighbor complained.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Because there's a flagpole in his yard. It's uh-huh. a standard-sized flagpole.
So?
Okay.
They said that it was marring the aesthetics of the neighborhood. So the town... cited him and told him he has 30 days to remove the flagpole. They said that he needed a building permit because they considered the flagpole a structure.
You have to have a permit.
That's probably true.
That's not wrong.
You have to have a permit to dig a hole and put concrete in it?
Yes.
And raise something up. And
put,
a,
put
it
like
right.
a
yes.
15-foot pole? Yes.
Yeah. However, now, if he took photos while he was doing it, he could probably go get the permit retroactive.
Yeah, he should be able to get a permit retroactive anyway.
All
he could just
have
a guy come out and look at it.
Tell him to go find the conservative Republican councilman of his choice and have the guy walk the permit through with him.
Possibly, but he's a little upset because this whole process is now going to cost him $1,000, which he doesn't readily have, just to put a flagpole up in front of his house.
Yeah.
I think he could have any number of building inspectors come out and look at that and permit it. Or say that it's okay and then go and pay the $25.
Tell him to call the Fox News host of his choice. They'll write the check.
Yeah, probably. And what I want to know is, who's the idiot neighbor that complained about it? Give me a break.
Guy have a Barack Obama sticker on his car?
Oh.
Oh.
Send your hate mail to Mark.
Yeah, you know what? I'm so ready for
Recovery
Bring it on
Radio.
Baby. No, it's like whoever complained about our house, somebody complained about that our house was not being maintained. So, of course, building inspectors come. They look at the house. I get a letter in the mail that says that we have poorly maintained fascia on our house. I had to look it up. I didn't know what a fascia was. It's the little boards on the eaves of the house. which were not, in some places, were not there when I bought the house. And we got out of it, by the way, because when we added the room addition, the builders did not put fascia on the room addition, and the building inspector signed off on it.
Ah.
So.
Yeah, poorly maintained because we didn't have any.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I called
the
city.
Hey, that's the way they built the house.
Yeah, so when I called the city to inform them of this, they were like, oh, well, we'll have to look into it. That was a year ago.
Yeah, and we never heard from
it. I think it sucks that the guy has to spend the money for the flagpole, but you know what? You do have to get a permit for it.
Yeah, you do. I guarantee you do.
Sorry, man.
Well, and now he's got to pay for the citation, though. I think that's I think the whole thing is crap. I think you should be able to put a flagpole wherever
you want. I'm telling
you,
there is a number of people that would be happy to pay that for him. Okay. They'll put that on the news one time, and he'll get, like, $125,000 worth of donations.
Sorry.
You're like a school bus lady.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We're going over time here.
On three stories.
Yeah, really. We do, however, well, this is a stupid study. Thank you, Bill. Penn State University, there was funding for this. They're calling it a first-of-its-kind longitudinal pilot study. I don't know what that means, but they want to find out how the neural processes of incoming freshmen in college are impaired by alcohol. I'm not sure what a longitudinal pilot study
is. Now here's my issue. In order to do this, you have to have incoming freshmen being tested who drink.
Right.
Which are not old enough to drink.
Right.
Okay. Just wanted to check.
So they're getting guys drunk to test that are not legal to get drunk.
Right.
Okay.
You could do that in Hawaii. Isn't it 18 in Hawaii?
Not anymore.
I don't know.
All over the country.
Hawaii is its own country, though.
No.
Hawaii was 18 when I went to Hawaii, when I was 18, and a couple years later it went to 21 with the rest of the country.
Do you know what's really scary?
Mm.
Do you know that you got to be whatever age to drink? Do you know that there are still places in the country where the age of consent is quite young?
Georgia was 13.
Yeah, there's like, I think Nevada is like 15 or 16.
Okay, and that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College at SoulfulHappens.com. We have a topic.
What's our topic, Bruce?
Size matters. Or does size matter?
No.
Well, thanks, Shelley. Thanks. Just threw that out there to the world.
Well, it says where two or more are gathered.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were talking about something else.
I thought you were talking about meetings. What are you talking about?
Nothing.
He's talking about his bacon-flavored condom.
Yeah, my bacon-flavored condom. It shrinks after you cook it.
How did this come about, Bruce?
I went to a meeting at... We have a traveling meeting. Instead of, like, going to the same old every week, we got a bunch of guys. They meet at Starbucks. We pick a place, and we go to a meeting that we haven't gone to before. And last night, we had about five guys. And we go to this meeting, this club in Arcadia, California, called the 9416.
Okay.
We walk in. There are two people in the room. We bring five. Now there's seven. But if we hadn't gone, this meeting would have started out with two people. Now, eventually another guy comes in, which was kind of funny because this guy comes in and goes, you know, I went out and I'm back and I'm so glad I'm here. You know, I'm glad this Friday night meeting is here. And we're like, it's Saturday. And the guy goes, and later on he goes in his share and he's talking about how he's a doctor. And I'm like, I do not want this guy doing my surgery. He doesn't even know what day it is.
Make sure he didn't work for Kaiser.
No, but what I thought of is, you know, where two or more are gathered. The guy that runs the meeting comes from fairly far away to run the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
If we hadn't showed up, it would have been him and one other person, this 12 and 12 study.
Yeah.
And they would have done the meeting, just like anyone would do.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me how people that go to these Charter Oak Hospital meetings, they seem to get stressed if, like somehow it's bad if there's only, like, 12 or 13 people. Or if there's six or eight people or whatever, they're like, oh, my God,
right.
Oh, my God.
There were nights at that meeting, that Thursday night meeting in particular, when I'd show up and 10 minutes after the meeting's supposed to start, three people would come, and we'd sit out on the porch and have a meeting for like an hour and then leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what you do.
Right.
Mark and I have been to that meeting where there was 150 people at it, and they couldn't even have it in that room. They had to have it in the gym.
And we've been at that meeting before where it was the three of us.
Yes.
Yes.
So.
When I first started going to that meeting, it was in the cafeteria, and there were probably 50 people there.
But now here's the thing. Does size matter?
No.
I don't think it does either. Mark, you go. You have a meeting that has a variety pack of attendance.
Yeah. I have a meeting. I've got a couple of meetings I go to. I've only got one meeting that I go to that has what I would say would be a what people would consider to be a decent attendance, 15 or more people. I've got one meeting I go to that qualifies for that. I've got one meeting to go to, 7, 8, 10 people. I got another meeting I go to. On a good night, there's six of us. Most of the time, there's four.
One of the best meetings that I ever went to, I went to with you, and there was only like five or six people, and you and I and our friend Lee were three of them. There was maybe six or seven people. It was the milk and cookies meeting.
And Lee had the least time in the room.
One of the best meetings I've been to, and there was only like...
16 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lee was the second newest guy.
Yeah.
With 16 years. There was one guy who was a newcomer or something. Well, he was, a newcomer for that meeting.
Yeah, he had 9 years.
9 years. But, you know, in that room, mm-hmm. there was like a couple hundred, there was like, you know, 100 years of sobriety or 150 years of sobriety.
Yep.
And it was a very small meeting. It was a great meeting.
And it went 90 minutes.
The meeting we were at last night was a great meeting. It was a great meeting. There wasn't very many people in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know that it matters. I mean, it's really one of those things where two or more are gathered, you can have a meeting. I went to a meeting one Saturday night, not a meeting I attended many times. I hadn't been to it in a while. I was free. I drove up. I walked in. Secretary had a year and me. Nobody else showed up. And he looks at me and says,
"You want to make coffee?
What do we do?" He says, "What do we do?
Have a meeting."
I said, "Well, you want to lead?" He goes, "Well, what do we do?" So we have a meeting. You lead. I'll do the first reading. You do the second one. You share. I'll share. Read the 12 traditions. We don't have to pass the basket very far. I think we just set it between us. And pray out and go home. That's what we do.
He was
just lost. I've had phone calls from guys at that meeting you were talking about, calling me up going,
"What do I do?
What do we do? There's only four people here."
I've had that same call from those guys.
Yeah, there's only four people here.
I had one guy call me one time. He says, "The secretary's not here."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "You're there." He goes, "Yeah, but there's only two other people." I'm like, "So go get the format out and run the meeting."
Yeah.
And he's like, "But..." But there's only three of us. I'm like,
somebody
so
has to read
what?
Twice.
Yeah, so what?
You know? You know, that's what I don't get. But with the people who've called us, is it a matter of they want a larger forum with which to share to?
They want a larger floor in which to get lost in.
Ooh.
Well, that could be as well. That could be as well.
See, if there's only, you know, five people in the room in a meeting, and it's an hour meeting or more, you can be guaranteed you're going to have to share. Maybe they don't want to share.
I could see that. I can see that.
Reality is you don't have to share at all if you don't want to. I mean, it's a meeting.
Yeah, I
think the important thing is our primary purpose, because we have always gone, there's a Thursday night meeting that's always on a Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving, for some reason, we've never really had a problem getting people to go to. But occasionally, there are years where Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, and New Year's Eve are all a Thursday.
Yeah.
And my friend Matt and I went one time. We run the meeting on a New Year's Eve. We do the reads, we do this, Matt sharing, I'm sharing, we're trying to decide how long we're going to stay, because now he's shared and I've shared, and we just sit there for a while talking. And about 30 minutes into this meeting time, this guy comes busting through the door. I knew you guys would be here. I'm dying right now. I'm so happy you guys are here. I'm like, and Matt and I look at each other, we go, that's why we hang out.
Yeah, it's your turn to share.
Yeah, if you're here, share. Well, and then that same Thursday meeting, Thanksgiving, we're sitting there. There were four or five of us that night. We were there, even though it was a holiday. Down the hall, the secretary of the AA meeting was sitting out in front of the closed door to make sure that if anybody showed up, he could tell them that they weren't having the meeting because it was a holiday.
Yeah, because alcohol takes a holiday.
Yeah, because, you know, they never drank on Thanksgiving, of course
as
not.
As opposed to once the first person showed up, you now have a meeting.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we fellowship with this guy. We do a burger thing. Wherever we go, we go out and have a burger somewhere. And we had an In-N-Out burger, which for you people in other parts of the country, I'm sorry if you don't have one. In-N-Out, the most fabulous burgers on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was talking about speaking. Like, I didn't get to share at that meeting because it was only an hour-long meeting. I didn't know it was an hour long. And, you know, enough people, there was like seven people, and, you know, we read for a goodly portion of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about all kinds of stuff, and my friend Jimmy mentioned that we do a radio show, and this guy's all interested in the radio show. He goes, oh, well, do you like to go and speak? I said, yeah, I like to speak. And he asked me, you know, like he said he went and spoke somewhere and there was four people. And he goes, does that bug you? I said, absolutely not. I said, I don't care. I don't care. Because my story doesn't really change.
Yeah.
Do I like there to be a lot of people? Yeah, because if someone's laughing, then you hear more laughter. But it doesn't really matter.
That's the narcissist in you.
Mark and I, we went and spoke on
a marathon.
And when we're walking up, this place is emptying out. We're there at for the midnight
thing. There's
70
people there.
Yeah. I mean, there was a shitload of people there. And next thing you know, everyone's leaving. When we get up there, it's Mark and I and Lee.
Yeah.
No, Mark and I and Mark.
Yeah.
And he didn't speak.
And he was brand new. So
yeah,
he didn't speak. And the person who was doing the meeting for the marathon, and one guy who was cleaning up through the whole time while we were...
And we went over.
Yeah, you and I went over.
Yeah, we went
no
over.
No problem. Hour and 45 minutes, not enough time for Bruce and I.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I think to remember is that a lot of, if most of the time when I hear people complain about, oh, the meeting's so small, there's nobody here, it's young people. Especially people that didn't have, I mean, you guys have the benefit of this experience, and I do too in a sort of oblique way, is that, you know, when I was a kid growing up, you know, my dad went to a lot of meetings, my mom went to a lot of meetings, I went to Alateen meetings. A good portion of the meetings that they went to were actually small groups in people's homes. So a meeting in those days was 7-8 people, and that was common.
Yeah.
I went to a meeting in someone's home recently, and there was 20.
That's the only meeting I go to that has a lot of people at it, in this guy's house.
It was at a house, 20 people.
Well, and so the concept of the size of a meeting making a difference or mattering in some way wasn't really a concept at all until recently, and I think that's because a lot of recovery homes and stuff send large amounts of their patients to one or another meeting. I think that buzzing noise is a moth trap somewhere.
There's a ticking sound behind me.
Yeah, it's probably a moth. Well,
yeah.
And I think that it so doesn't matter. I mean, I really do. But I could see where, you know what? I could see where new people in recovery, where sometimes to them it's comforting that there is a bunch of people in there with the same problem they have. So I can see why newer people might complain about that, because they maybe, and like we said earlier, it may be a way that Shelley said where they might be able to hide a little more. But also, it's kind of comforting. I remember I used to go to meetings when I was new at the 502 Club. It's a big club. The noon meeting would on average have 50, 60 people. And I remember being comforted by the fact of, wow, I was amazed that all of these people seem to have the same issue as me. And then I'd go to like the noon meeting the next day, and some of the people would be the same, and 30 of the people would be different.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, wow. And I'd see the cups on the wall out in the club, and I'd be like, God, man, there's 1,000 cups or 700 cups out on the wall. I'm like, man, all these people. But I don't think that that takes away from the fact that if you go to a meeting and it's small, that there's something wrong with it.
I kind of like the smaller meetings. Most of the large meetings I've been to have been speaker meetings, which are not my favorite things ever. I kind of like the smaller meetings because I like being able to, you know, if the meeting goes an hour and a half and there's only six of you, you don't really have to say 3 to 5 minutes. So people can actually...
Depending on who's sharing.
Depending on who's sharing.
Then who starts.
That's true. But you can actually, you know, you have the luxury of time. You can stretch out a little bit. You can actually go into a little bit more depth. And I think sometimes in the smaller meetings, people tend to be a little bit more honest or forthcoming with their feelings because... It's a more intimate group. They feel like a little bit more like they can trust people, especially if they know them.
We have a friend that we know well that often from people will get the, hey, 3 to 5 thing. And he shared last night, and he starts to share, and he's going for a while. The guy doesn't say anything to him. And after he shares, the newcomer in the room is just all about asking him questions. You know, because whatever he said was what that person needed to hear. And, you know, he was sharing about that he used to have a lot of anger issues, and this person was just way into it, way into it, which was kind of cool because here's a guy who's sharing about something. I've heard this guy share a million times, as have the whole group of five of us.
Mm-hmm.
The other 2 to 3 people that ended up being there have never heard him, and whatever he said was exactly what this woman needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's a benefit of a smaller group.
I went a couple of weekends ago to a panel. Normally, houseful. It was the weekend of the convention. Almost everybody was going to the convention that morning. And so there were 6 patients who stayed behind. Actually, 5 patients and 1 person who was there as a volunteer. I took 2 people with me. Hour-long panel. First guy went 20 minutes. The new guy who'd never done a panel before went 35 minutes. I thanked everybody. I asked if there were any questions. 2 of the girls who were in the room said, no, those 2 guys answered all my questions.
There you go.
Perfect.
God's will.
Panel well served.
I had a similar experience. Matter of fact, with the guy that I said sometimes we say 3 to 5. And I have a tendency because I never know how someone else on the panel is going to share. I had a guy open for me one time, one of my sponsees, goes to open for me as an opening 15-minute speaker, went 2.5 minutes, you know. And so I when I go to a panel, I usually, because I can fill. I got no problem with that.
Yeah
I can
know.
Do 5, I can do 50.
Yeah, exactly. So I send this guy on his merry way. We're going to hear from Mr. R here first. And he's on a roll. And a roll, and a roll. But he was on a roll. I mean, I'm listening to him. A lot of stuff I've never heard before. And I'm like, and the girls are like completely interested in what he's saying. And I'm just letting him go. And he goes, all right, well, thank you for letting me share. And I look, and I go, my name's Bruce, and I'm an alcoholic addict. And we want to thank you guys for showing up because the time was up. He went 55 minutes on a 1-hour panel. And he goes, oh, wow, did I go that long? I said, yeah. I'm like, but it's okay because they've heard me before.
Yeah.
So, Shelly, what were your final words on does size matter? Or size matters or two or more gather?
It doesn't really matter. Just find the meetings that you like and go to them, the ones that feed your recovery, the ones where you feel you can make a difference as well. I mean, there's a phrase in the book. It says when you're unsure of whether you can make a difference, that you can, though you be but one man with this book in your hand.
Ooh.
It's one person to one person in the end, so the size of the meeting really is irrelevant.
Good one. Mark?
Size only matters to those who are emotionally deficient.
Oh. Yowza. My final words would be, if you're in an area where you can bitch about the size of a meeting, think about the people that live in small towns and small areas where their big meetings are 7 or 8 people, and their recovery ends up being just fine. So your recovery will be just fine as well.
One other thing, if you go to a meeting and it seems too small, go next week and bring a couple friends.
Absolutely. So Shelley.
Yes.
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can get his fine publication. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Mark, they could probably get that link off our page, right?
Yes. We ask you to go to recovery101.net. And to listen to the show, if you go there, you can just click on the show. And as the show comes up, hopefully, a little button comes up under the show that says like.
Oh, no, that'll still come up.
Hopefully, when you click it, it doesn't disappear.
It does do that on occasion.
If it doesn't disappear, and you are a member, thank you, you've been counted. And that's important to us for our numbers. If you're not yet a member, a box will come up and ask you to join. So you log in, and then if the like button doesn't disappear, you can click on it.
We're hoping they'll fix that soon.
So, and hopefully when you click on it, it doesn't ask you to log in again. We're hoping they fix all this. But anyway, stick with it. Do your best. We really appreciate everybody who listens to the show, and we know you guys try to participate on the site, and there have been some problems. But we ask that you like it, comment it on it, add it to your playlists, and also go to our sponsors' sites.
Absolutely.
Links and click on those and go check out our sponsors. Thank you for being of service.
I would make mention that if you are a member of Podomatic and you have followed us in the past, when you go to the page, you may see the option to follow us. Go ahead. I heard someone tell me that if you go to hit follow, and it'll, even though you followed us before, it says thank you for following Recovery 101, and that you may then be able to click the like button on occasion. But for some reason, you'll be counted as a new follower, so go figure. We've got email addresses. We got an email address of recovery101radio@gmail.com. Please send us some topics and comments and stuff like that. We've also got, and if you want to send a Recovery Idol jingle, because we've only gotten one, and if you think you can do better than that, you should send us in one. And thanks, Phil, for sending that in. But send those to recovery101radio@gmail.com. Mention the show, Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio. You may or may not mention the show hosts, but it's okay. We've also got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley, who is the lead out music by?
How about Eva Love?
Eva Love. Everyone, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you. Nothing to spare. Take all I have and leave.
leave nothing unturned. Leave me with nothing but air. Take it away, take it away. I'm tired and I've fought all I can. Tried holding on, yes I tried for too long. I'm letting go, I'm letting go of everything. Take it away from me, take away everything. Leave me with nothing but me. Nothing can hold me back. If there is nothing left, breaking the cycle of me. So I let it all go. Just let it flow.